fast to your faith. In Hebrews 10 and 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And so number one, we need to hold fast to our faith. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13 that the seed fell on some hearts and they were like the rock, which when they received the word with joy, they did not have root. They believed for a while, but in time of temptation, they fell away. Every year we go down to the country of Belize, and there we have opportunity, 3 or 4, perhaps 5 days, to study with some family. And we teach them the Word of God, and they understand what is involved in becoming a Christian and how to worship God and what is expected of them to live the Christian life. And there are many of them who are very receptive to that Word. But when we go down the following year, they have fallen away because the Word of God is not in their heart. It does not matter how rapidly you begin the race. If you're going to stop the race halfway through the race, you can't win the victory. And so he says that we're to hold fast to our faith. And I would challenge you tonight, during 1996, to hold on to your faith. Number two, assemble with the saints. In Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another in so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, there is some concern about what that day is. There are those that believe that it refers to the second coming of Jesus that is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 9 in the last verse. There are some who believe that it refers to the destruction of Jerusalem, and there were evidences that Jesus gave as to when they could see that time coming. There are those that believe that it refers to the first day of the week, but regardless to which day it refers, we are not to forsake the assembly like some were doing. And the exhortation and the encouragement was to be more and more as you see this day, whatever that day is, approaching. But the command was that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It is a willful sin described in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for, a fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto 2 or 3 witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. Why, even under the law of Moses, those that did not respect the command of God, they died without mercy when there were a couple of witnesses that could testify against them. Of how much sorer punishment, how much more grievous punishment, how much worse punishment it shall be for those who are living under the gospel dispensation of grace. And when we forsake the assembly, not only is it a willful sin, but we tread underfoot the Son of God, we count the blood of the covenant wherewith we were sanctified an unholy thing, no more than the blood of a pig or the blood of a dog. And those who willfully and deliberately forsake the assembly are not just doing some kind of casual sin or some kind of respectable sin, but this is a sin that is clearly condemned in the Word of God. In Acts 2:42, the Bible says they continued steadfastly. Notice that word continued. Notice the word steadfastly. They continued. Not only did they continue, but they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And so number two is to assemble with the saints. Number three is to pray every day. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says that we are to pray without ceasing. Just don't stop praying. That doesn't mean that we pray 24 hours a day. We have to have some time to sleep, and we have to have time to eat. We have to have time to work and keep our minds on computers and other gadgets that we use at the workplace. But it means that we are to pray on a regular basis. Daniel prayed. Daniel prayed in the morning. Daniel prayed at noon. And Daniel prayed in the evening. Daniel prayed without ceasing. And that's what it means, to pray without ceasing. Pray on a regular basis. The next is happy is the letter P, prepare to meet God. In Amos 4 and verse 12, the prophet from Tekoa long ago said, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. And so we need to prepare to meet God. If there's one soul here tonight, that if you launched out into eternity and you're not prepared, that's one soul too many. And God tonight says, prepare to meet thy God. We ride along the roads and we see signs every once in a while that somebody has put up. And it says, prepare to meet thy God. Quotation from Amos 4 and verse 12. And this admonition is for all of us. If you were here and at one time you were very dedicated and faithful, enthusiastic servant of God, but you have fallen by the wayside, prepare to meet thy God. And then yield not to temptation. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Somebody said that if you have a habit, and if you erase the H, you still have a bit. If you erase the A, you still have bit. If you erase the B, you still have it. If you erase the I, it's not totally gone. The only way I know to get rid of a bad habit is to starve it to death. And every once in a while, folks want to taper off on a habit. Well, the way to get rid of a habit, whatever it is to just simply do away with that habit in our life. Yield not to temptation, he said. And the Bible is plain that we are to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Happy. Hold fast to your faith, assemble with the saints, pray every day, prepare to meet God, and yield not to temptation. The next word in the phrase Happy New Year is the letter N in the word new. Number one, I would suggest neglect not to use your talents. Matthew chapter 25, in the judgment scene of our Lord, those on the left hand were not those that were very wicked people, though they are called wicked people, but they were simply those that did not use their talents. They did not abuse their talents. They did not use it for a sinful purpose. They did not gamble their talent away. They just simply didn't use their talent. And so we all need to use our talent, whatever that talent is. We have some needs in this church. And some of you have the talents to fill those needs. Perhaps one of the problems is a lack of an organization on our part. But we have needs. We have a need in the nursery department. It's a shame and a disgrace of a church with 800 members that we can't get 52 families to keep the nursery one Sunday a year. And maybe it's a lack of organization, but some of us who have the skills and the abilities, we need to be sure that we're using those abilities and those skills. And we need to have the attitude, I'll do anything that I can do for the cause of Jesus Christ. Last Sunday in the elders' business meeting, the section that I sat in of their business meeting, they all committed themselves. The elders said, I and my family will be willing to keep the nursery. That's how important it is to those that are involved. And it's important to this church. There are problems in the area of visitation. And we have a marvelous program called the Membership Edification Program. A program that ought to have at least 200 people involved in that program. But through the years, it has gradually decreased instead of increased. And we're living in a busy time. But we're not so busy that we cannot have time for God. And we had better be spending our talents and our skills in serving God. Many other type programs like this that we can be involved in. And so neglect not to use your talent. In Judges 5 and 23, curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof. Why? Because they came not to help the help of the Lord against the mighty. In Galatians 6 and 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. The letter E in the word new, examine yourself. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own self. Know ye not that yourselves how that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates? And so we are to examine ourselves. Next, we are to work diligently. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Not most of the time, not 80% of the time, but he says always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we need to work diligently for God. If we went around the room tonight and we ask each one, are you working diligently for the Lord? What would your answer be? What could you say that you're doing for God? Well, some would say, well, I come to the services. Well, service is really not the work of God. The service is when we come to receive the benefit of God's blessing and get our batteries recharged. It's the time that we come together. But it's not actually the work that we're doing for God. There's a difference in work and worship. We come together not to work in the vineyard of the Master. We come together to worship the God of the universe. And so, what are you doing outside of attending services? You can't count attending services now. And if we went around the room and said, are you working diligently for the Lord? What would you say that you could point to? Well, I know many of you could say, I'm doing four or five things. And perhaps many others would be able to name other things that they are doing. But I'm asking you tonight, are you working diligently for the Lord? In 1996, will you make a determination and a commitment to God to work diligently for God? You know what diligently means. It does not mean to be apathetic. Apathetic is the greatest curse in the church today. It's the greatest problem we have at Roebuck. Just this feeling of indifference, the feeling of I don't care, the feeling of giving God the leftovers, and whatever happens, let it happen. And this spirit is not the spirit that God wants us to have. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. That word abounding means to just be overflowing, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why, this church needs to double during this coming year, 1996. We had a great year in 1995, one of the great years in the history of this church. And I know some of you would just be satisfied to drift along without doing any more than we did in 1995. But I know others of you are committed to make this the finest year in the history of this church, to share the gospel with more people. And how many people are you going to share the gospel? Don't look to the person sitting next to you. Don't look to somebody else that's on the payroll of the church and say, well, how many are you going to teach? Let each one look to our own self and ask the question, with whom can I share the gospel of Christ? Are we working diligently in the kingdom of God? Pardon me. The last word is the word yield, or the word year. Happy New Year. And the first is the word yield your members to righteousness. In Romans 6 and 13, Paul said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we are to yield our members to righteousness, our minds and our hands and our feet and our hearts. The instruments that we have within us are to be used for righteousness. The next word letter is the letter E, exercise to godliness. Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews condemned some. He said, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one should teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And you're become as those that have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Exercise to godliness. Know what is right and what is wrong. Now, if you go to sleep too close to where you got in the church, you'll never develop this. And you'll need to go back and study again the rudiments, the elements of the gospel of Christ. And the way to tell is, how can you point out that which is right and that which is wrong? The person that is skilled in the use of the word has the ability to discern what is good and what is evil. And so if I'm having some difficulty knowing what I should do and what I should not do as a Christian, it may be a lack of maturity on my part. I need to exercise to godliness. Then the letter A, aim at sinless perfection. Aim at sinless perfection. The Hebrew writer says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Our goal ought to be perfection. Now, we will never attain perfection. But wouldn't it be a tragedy that we were aiming at something less than God wanted us to aim at? Now, the way we do that is by comparing ourselves with other people. And when we say, well, I'm doing as good as brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so in the kingdom of God, that's aiming at imperfection. Our standard is Jesus Christ. And we are to aim at perfection. We are to aim at the top of the line, not something inferior here, but at the very top of the line. Aim at sinless perfection. Make up your mind. My aim this year is not going to have an evil thought. My aim this year is not going to say one evil word. My aim this year is to not be critical, supercritical, judgmental of other people. My aim this year is not to gossip one time. Aim at sinless perfection. And then, if we aim at something less than that, we'll be content when we fall short. And then finally, the letter R, redeem the time. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. That is, that we're to make wise use of our time. Time is precious. Once it's gone, it can never be reclaimed. And so we need to use it. Redeem it. Use it in the proper way. Buy it back in the right way. Buy it back by using it in the proper way. So the sermon tonight is on Happy New Year, an acrostic type lesson for this coming year. There may be someone here tonight that is not a Christian. And wouldn't it be a marvelous opportunity, this first service, Sunday night service of 1996, for you to say, well, I've made up my mind. Nobody has forced me. Nobody has held a gun at my head. But I just don't believe my relationship with Jesus is all it can be. And I believe in Him, and I'm willing to repent of my sins and confess my faith. And tonight, I want to be buried with my Lord in baptism. You won't have a better Sunday night in all of 1996 than tonight. Tonight is a marvelous night. You've been allowed to be here. Kind of a bad day outside, but what a marvelous day it can be in your heart and in your life and with your family. Some of you here have become indifferent to the cause of Jesus. And tonight we're among the most devout and dedicated Christians in this church, evidenced by your not looking for an excuse as to why you shouldn't come, but evidenced by the fact that you were willing to forego inclement weather and be present. But even tonight, there may be those that have backslidden in their heart and their mind. They're not living as close to God as they once did. Three things that you must do. Number one is repent. Number two is confess your wrongs. And number three, to ask the prayers of God's people. As Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and 22 asked Peter, pray ye to the Lord that none of these things that ye have spoken befall me. Who will be the first? Will you lead the way tonight? Don't wait on somebody behind you or next to you or down the aisle away. Just make up your mind that tonight you're going to step out. This will be a great service. if just one soul makes their life right with God. But what about several of you that need to come tonight? Will you come as together we stand and sing?